We're beginning here at the two dots in the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Gemar here quotes the end of our Mishnah, which said, Umodim, Shim Shachat, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agreed that if he already shechted the animal on Yom Tov, that's a chaya or an oaf, which requires Kisui Adam, Shechpor Bedeker, that he places the spade into the ground, V'yichaseh, and then he covers the dam. Amar Rabbi Zvika, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, now we have a member of Amoraim that say, V'hu Sheyesh Lo Deker Na'utz Mibod Yom. That's only true if the spade is already inserted into the earth before Yom Tov. V'ha'akavid kitisha. Wait a minute, isn't he doing crushing? This question is according to Rabbi Yehuda's qualification of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that the only way this works is if he has the spade in the ground prior to Yom Tov. That implies that what's going on here is that we don't allow you to dig into the ground in a normal way on Yom Tov, because then you would be in violation of an Isur Malacha de Oraita. Now, even though you have a mitzvah asay of Kisui Adam, and generally we say asay doche lota asay, the mitzvah asay of Kisui Adam should override the Isur Malacha on Yom Tov. Nevertheless, we're going to see in the latter half of today's daf that's not applicable over here. Well, since that is not applicable over here, we see that clearly from Rabbi Yehuda's statement that he requires the spade to be in the ground before Yom Tov. The fact that he requires the spade to be in the ground before Yom Tov implies that he's not going to allow you just to come and do Asei Dochelot Asei and say that's the reason for the Mishnah. It's clear that there must be something else driving the position of Rav Yehuda over here, and that's why he's qualifying the Mishnah and saying that the spade must be in there beforehand. So now, if he says the spade's in there beforehand, so you cannot dig on Yom Tov, we don't permit you to have an Asei Dochelot Asei on Yom Tov, then, once he takes the dirt out of the ground, he still has a problem of Avid Kedisha. He has to crush the earth. He has to crush the dirt that he took out of the ground in order to perform the Kisui Adam, which is also an Av Malacha. So if you're telling me that the reasoning is not that Asei Dochelot Asei, then having the spade in the ground only helps you pass the first problem, which is Chofer, digging into the ground. But it doesn't help you with the next issue, which is another Malacha Doraita of Kedisha. I'm Rav Chiya Barashi, Amarav Bafarti Cholach. It's a case where there's soft earth. It's already soft earth, so he does not have to crush it. Therefore, there's no problem of Kitisha Deoraita. Gemara says, well, now there's a third problem in a Torah. So far, the problem of Chofer, we eliminated by having the spade in the ground beforehand. We eliminated the problem of Kitisha by saying that the earth is already soft and crushed, and he doesn't have to do that. But you have a third problem, which is, once you remove the earth from the ground, you leave behind a hole in the ground. And you're Chofer Guma, that's creating a hole in the ground, which inside of a house is a problem of binyan, outside in the fields is a problem of choresh or zoreya. And Gemara says, "Kedar Rabbi Abba, that's not a problem. That's like Rabbi Abba. Dama Rabbi Abba, ochfer guma b'shabbat, veino tzarich alei ofra, patur alei." Person who digs a ditch or a pit on Shabbat, he doesn't dig it for the purpose of creating the ditch or the pit, but he simply does it because he needs the afar, he needs the dirt that is there. Then it's not a problem on Shabbat. Now, patur, generally in Shabbat, means patur avel asur. We'll address that in 1 second, which means that there's still an isur derabanan. But at least on a doraita level, there is no problem over here of removing the dirt. The way Rashi formulates it is it's because it's mikalkel. Here you're doing something that is damaging or destructive in nature. You don't want the pit there. You'd be just as happy to have the ground flat. The only reason you have a pit is a result of you taking the dirt out. What you want is the dirt. You don't want the pit. Tosafot says what? We know the Gemara in Shabbat says about this, which is a melacha she'na tzricha legufa. It's a melacha whose intent or purpose is not to create the object that is there in the end. One of the qualifications by Shabbat is that it has to be melachet machshevet. The melacha that you perform has to be your intended melacha. The melacha you perform has to result in that melacha, otherwise it's not considered to be a melacha. Over here, you're digging into the ground, it's for the purpose of digging out the dirt, not in the resultant pit that's left behind. That's what we call malacha she'ena tzricha gufa. It's a malacha whose final purpose was not the intent of a malacha performed. The pit here was not the intent of your digging out the dirt. Malacha she'ena tzricha gufa, and that is classified as only an iser derabanan. Tosafot asked the question, okay, still you have an iser derabanan. If you have an iser derabanan, then why are we allowing you to do this? So Tosafot says over here, v'teima dimkein patur aval asur. So then the chatchilo, at least chatchilo, you shouldn't be able to do this. Because of Simchat Yom Tov, we override the problem of the Isur Derabanan that is associated with Melacha She'ena Tzricha Degufa. Then Tosafot says, wait a minute, if that's the case, then why do I have to insert the spade in the ground beforehand? If we've solved our problem now and said that we are not dealing with any Isserei Doraita over here, you're digging a pit, you're digging into the ground, no Ketisha, got rid of all the problems Doraita, then why do you need a spade in the ground to start with? It must be to eliminate the problem of Mukta. The reason you need the spade in the ground is so that the dirt that's there is already prepared to be used for this purpose. Since it's prepared to be used for this purpose, then it's not Mukta anymore. Had you not put the spade in beforehand, then it would have been Mukta. So Tosafot says, well, I have Simchat Yom Tov over here, and Simchat Yom Tov is allowing me to override Isserei Derabanan. I can override the Isser Derabanan of Melacha Shein Tzricha Degufa. Why can't I override also the Isser Derabanan of Mukta? So the Marsha suggests that the problem is that you can't have Simchat Yom Tov override two Isserei Derabanan. Override one Isser Derabanan, but not two Isserei Derabanan. Another possibility, and we see this in the Gemara and Shabbat in many places, that the Isur of Mukse actually has a higher standing as an Isur Drabanan than other Isurim. For instance, we had that at the end of the Gemara and Shabbat with regards to Tzar Bali Chaim. Over there, we were willing to leave the animal because of Mukse in the channel and not take it out because of an Isur Drabanan. And we don't just say that the Isur Drabanan is waived or taken out because of the issue of Tzar Bali Chaim. Because Mukse is a higher level of Isserei Derabanan that we don't automatically waive or remove. So that might be the possibility here as well. That overcome the problem of Isser Mukse, you need the spade in the ground. On the other hand, to overcome the problem of Mekalkel or Mlachash in Tzricha Degufa, there Simchat Yom Tov will suffice. The question then becomes is, what's Beit Hillel's position? This helps understand Beit Shammai, why Beit Shammai says the Chatchilo, you can't cover the dam, because I took away Mukse, and I took away the problem of Isserei Doraita, and the only thing I'm left with now is Isserei Derabanan, which Tosafot says is overridden by Simchat Yom Tov. So you could argue that Beit Hillel thinks that Simchat Yom Tov does not override. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Beit Hillel still thinks that even though digging now and taking out this crushed earth is not a problem, nevertheless, it still looks like you are digging on Shabbat, and we will try to avoid those types of situations. We'll see that later on in Rashi on Daf Ted Amud Bet. And therefore, Beit Hillel says, L'chatchila, don't do this. But Bidyabad, we're going to allow you to do it. The last possibility will be something that we see later on, which is that the Degar Na'utz in the ground, while it takes away the Isur Mukse, nevertheless, there's still a residual piece of Mukse here because it's not clear that you prepared this dirt for Kisui Adam. That might leave behind some residual problem Mukta, and that's what Beit Hillel says is the reason we don't do this L'chatchila, but rather only Bidiavad. Now, the Gemara finishes off with the last line in the Mishnah, She'efer kira mukhan hu, because the ashes in the kira, in the stove, are considered to be mukhan. Where it says, Efer kira mandekar shemei. Where did ashes in the stove all of a sudden come up in the Mishnah? It was never mentioned prior to this in the Mishnah. Amaraba hachi gamar. This is what you have to say that the Mishnah means. That put a vav in front of it. The vav tells you it's a separate statement in the Mishnah. It's not a continuation of the previous statements of the Mishnah, but rather, ve'efer kirahu. Everybody agrees that if you have ashes from the stove, that you can utilize that for kisu adam, and there's no problem. So, Amar Yehuda Marav, loshanu elishu husak me'erav yom tov. That's only true if the stove was fired up on Erev Yom Tov, and the ashes were already created on Erev Yom Tov. If it was heated, if the ashes were made on Yom Tov itself, asur. That is problematic because it's nolad. It was something that changed. And Tosafot points out, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says there's no muksa, here they agree there is nolad, because this is your highest form of nolad, which is something that didn't exist before and now suddenly exists. You created ashes on Yom Tov itself, and that is muksa, and therefore you can't utilize them. That's what the qualification of Yudom Merab says, that the ashes have to be there beforehand so that you could have them in mind to utilize them. But if they only show up on Yom Tov itself, then you couldn't have had in mind to utilize them, and therefore they would not be permitted to use because they are mukse because of nolad. The imra uilit slok bo beitza, if the ashes are still there, are able to be utilized to roast an egg in them, then mutar, because then they don't have a shame mukse anymore. They don't lose their utility on Yom Tov. They can be utilized for something that is mutar on Yom Tov, which is cooking on Yom Tov. Since they could utilize for something that's mutar and yom tov, they still have a classification as not being mukse because they haven't lost their utility. If they're already useless in terms of cooking or baking or roasting on yom tov, then they become worthless or useless on yom tov, and that's why they attain a shame mukse through nolad. But if the ashes are still able to be utilized for cooking like the wood was there that was originally burnt, then they don't have a shame mukse. The Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding. When they say that Efer is considered to be Mukhan, the Gabe Yom Tov, that's only the case if the stove was fired up before Yom Tov and the ashes were created before Yom Tov. If it was heated up on Yom Tov and the ashes were created on Yom Tov, Asur. If the ashes are still able to be utilized for cooking, then they remain Mukhan and they're not Muksa and they could be utilized for Kisui Adam. Person already had brought in a pile of dirt into the house in order to utilize either for his garden or to fix up some area that needed construction. Then he can utilize that dirt. The underlying assumption is that when you bring in a large pile of dirt that's there, that his mind is on the utilization of that dirt for whatever purposes that he needs. According to Rashi, he actually brings in a lot of dirt in a single location. He has this pile of dirt, which is available to him to use. Now, his primary purpose, or the reason that he has it there in general, is for the use in the garden or for the churva. But because it's in his house, and he has in mind to utilize it, that's enough to take away the shame muksa from it, and be able to utilize it for a kisui hadam. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda, machnis adam melo kupato afar. A person can bring in a bucket full of dirt, and he can do whatever he likes or he pleases with that dirt. Now, Tosafot asked the obvious question, then what's the question here? We just said before, even if he had the dirt there for his ginan, his churva, that you could utilize it for kisui adam. So, of course, you could use it for any other purpose. Why all of a sudden over here? What did Rav Yehuda add that we didn't already know from the previous statement when he says you can bring in a bucket of dirt and utilize it? The answer might lie in what Rashi said. Rashi says that in the first case, there was harbe. There was a lot of dirt. Since there was a lot of dirt that was brought in, the pile is distinct, and it's not batel to gabi akarka, it's not batel to the floor of the house, which is also made of dirt. And if you have a large pile there, you know it's separate and distinct, and that's why you're allowed to use it, because it's not a part of the floor. Now then, when you bring in a small amount of dirt, here we just bring one bucket full of dirt in that instance, you might think, since it's a small quantity of dirt, that it's batel to gabi akarka, that it's batel to the ground, and since it's batel to the ground, you can't utilize it on Shabbat because it's no longer just free dirt to be utilized, but it's rather part of the house now, and you can't use it. That's the Chiddush of Rav Yehuda, even in small amount of dirt. As long as it's a pile of dirt that was brought in for your own purposes, you can utilize it and cover and do Kisui Adam or whatever you need with it. Darash Marzutra Mishmei de Marzutra Rabo. So Marzutra says in the name of the great Marzutra, Behu Sheyiched Lo Keren Zavit. That all is true when you have specified or designated a place in the house for the dirt. Just not placed anywhere you want. It's placed specifically in the location that you want it or you need it. Like where you store things. It's not just randomly spread across the house. There's a special corner where you keep these types of items or you keep this dirt in order that you know that this is available to you to be utilized. By doing that, it separates it or makes it distinct from the floor of the house. And by doing that, you can utilize it. It's not muksa, it's not batel, the gabe, the karka. Because then it's mukha milto, as Rashi says. It's self-evident that this item is there for whatever purposes you need, rather than a part of the house. Metevei, koi, ein shochatim oto biyom tov. You're not allowed to shech the koi on yom tov. A koi is an animal that, in the Mishnayot, is a machloket as to its status. There are four opinions as to the status of a koi. One opinion is that it is a beima. One opinion is that it's a chaya. And then there's a opinion that it's a safek chaya, safek beima. And there's actually a fourth opinion, which is that it's a birya bifnei atzma. It's its own creation. It's not in any of these two categories. But here, the Gemara is speaking about it under the position that it's a safek. We're not sure if it's a chaya. We're not sure if it's a beima. That has two nafkuminot. If it is a beima, then it does not require kisui adam. On the other hand, the chalev, the fats of the animal, are restricted from being eaten. On the other hand, if it's a chaya, it will require kisui adam, but does not have the restriction of eating the fats of the chaya. So over here you have a koi which you shechted on Yom Tov. Here the ratio of the Braita says you may not shech the koi on Yom Tov, because we're not certain as to whether it needs kisui adam or not need kisui adam. Vim shachato, if you went ahead and did it anyway, we don't allow you to cover over its dam. What's the question here? Why can't you cover the dam? If you have dirt in the house that is available to be utilized for any purpose that you want, and that's what Rav Yehuda suggested before, you can bring in a bucket of dirt and do as you please with it, so then why not just use that dirt and cover it? It doesn't make a difference whether it does or does not need kisui adam. Over here you have dirt that's available that's not mukseh. We're not violating or overriding any didim. You can simply take the dirt and cover it. Mimonov shach, it works. If it needs kisui dam, it works. If it doesn't need kisui dam, you're just cleaning up. Ule tameich, the Gemara says, why is that a question just on Rav Yehuda? Chasya be'efer kriva. According to you, you can ask the same question not only on Rav Yehuda, you can ask that question on the Mishnah as well. We said in the Mishnah that efer kriva is available for doing kisui adam. So say the same thing. If efer kriva is mukhan, why not just use the efer kriva in order to cover over the dam? Oh, bedeker na'utz. Or in the case where you have a spade already inserted into the ground. In all these cases where you're allowed to do kisui adam after the fact, why don't we make it one of those cases? How come we don't ask the question in that context? Ella, the lately. It must be that he doesn't have these available to him. Well, if they're not available to him, Hachanami, we could say the same thing by Rav Yehuda, the lately. He didn't bring in a bucket of dirt beforehand, so it's not available to him. It's not a question on Rav Yehuda's position because the Bright is talking about a case where it's not available. Just like in the other instances, like in our Mishnah, where Efer Kira or Dekar Na'utz, according to Beit Hillel, can be utilized for the Kisui Adam after the fact. So why don't we say the same thing in this Bright? Obviously, we don't allow it because they're not available. If they were available, we'd tell you to use it. So same thing with Rabbi Huda's position. If the dirt was available, we'd tell him to go ahead and use it. Mar says, Ihochi, my ear, yes, a fake. Then why is it only by a safek that we don't do this? Afilu vadai nami. Then even in a case of vadai, then you shouldn't be able to do it because we paskin like Beit Hillel. Since we paskin like Beit Hillel, over here, if you have a choice and you don't have anything available to you, then what are you going to do over here? Why talk about not shechting a goy? You can't even shecht the regular behema in that instance because you don't have anything available to you. Mar says, lo mi bayi kamar. The Bright is telling us not only this, which is lo mi bayi vadai. In a case of vadai, we know for sure that you can't do it. Lo yishchot, don't shecht it because you don't have the available resources in order to do kisui adam. So therefore, you certainly cannot do shechita. Aval safek, by a case of a goy, which is a safek, and you're uncertain as to whether you have to do kisui adam, maybe you can say like this, Eima mishum simchat yom tov lishchot v'lo lechasyei. We'll do this. Because of simchat yom tov, we'll override the safek aspect over here and say, just shecht it and don't do kisui adam. The kisui adam here is only a requirement, misafek. So what I'll say is, I have simchat yom tov, which is a positive mitzvah. In order to accomplish simchat yom tov, we'll waive or we'll override the possibility that there's a safek as to needing kisui adam. So I'll shecht the animal and just not do kisui adam. Because, as Rashi points out, kisui adam is not ma'akev in terms of achila. You can eat the animal without kisui adam. They're separate issues. It doesn't change the actual status of the animal. The animal is kasher, whether you do kisui adam or not. Kisui adam is a separate mitzvah. So over here where I have a safek, I just won't do that mitzvah, but the meat will be available to me for Simchat Yom Tov. So that's why the Braita brings the case of koi and not just the regular case of behema. I have no resources available, so now I have no Simchat Yom Tov because I can't shecht an animal. So I would think, okay, vadai animal where I'd have to do kisui adam, whether it's an o for an achaya, that for sure you can't do because you have to do kisui adam. Since the resources aren't available and we pass on like Beit Hillel, you cannot shecht the animal. But maybe we'll give you a dispensation in the case where it's a koi, it's a safek, and say, go ahead, shecht the animal and just don't do kisui adam. And you'll go ahead and have the animal for simchat yom tov, and you'll just not do kisui adam because it's a safek anyway. Kamash Malan, the Braita says, no, you can't do that. Even when it's a safek about kisui adam, you still can't shecht the animal. Veha, miktani seifa, the Gemara challenges this whole understanding of the Braita here because the latter half of the Braita says, vim shachato ein mechasin adamo. If you shecht it, you can't cover over its blood. Michlau, but to eat le'yaskinon. Why would the latter half of the Braita have to tell you that don't cover over the blood when you do shecht it, unless there are materials or resources there available in order to cover over the dam? So it must be that there are resources available, and that means in the ratio the resources are available, and we're still saying don't do it. Efer kira muchan nevadai, vein muchan nesafek. Rabba makes a statement that the efer kira, the ashes that are in the stove, they are considered to be mukhan in terms of mukseh, the gabei vadai, for something that definitely needs to have kisui adam. But for something that is a safek kisui adam, they are not available. The Gemara is going to ask why now. It's going to take a little while until it gets to the answer that we'll get from Rava. Some have the girsa over here of Rava, so then it'll be just a clarification of Rava's statement later on. But the Gemara is going to go through a couple of iterations in order to understand this. Okay, the safek, my time alo. For a safek, why can't you use the efer kira, or why is it not considered to be mukhan? To ka'avid guma, because you're digging a hole in the ground. So Gemara says, vadai nami ka'avid guma. By a vadai also you're digging a hole in the ground, so why is it permissible by a vadai, and not permissible by a safek? Elikud Rabbi Abba, why did we say it was permissible by a vadai? It's because Rabbi Abba, which is melacha she'ena tzricha de gufa, you can dig out the dirt, because you don't want the hole in the ground, and it's only an isur derabanan that we're speaking about. We said before that that's overridden by Simchat Yom Tov if you've done it already. So now Umar says, Ochanami Kedrabi Abba, same thing over here, but a Safek, you can say the exact same thing. Ela Safek Mai Taima. So what's the reason for Safek that we tell you cannot shech the animal? Dilma Ovid Ketisha. We're afraid that you're going to crumble up the dirt. And that's a problem of tochein. That's a malocha on Shabbat. So then Umar says, Vadai nami nigzor mishum ktisha. Why don't you say the same thing by a vadai? By a vadai also, you can crumble up the dirt, and then it will be a problem of violation of Shabbat. So now what are you going to say? Ki vadai ki avid ktisha. By the vadai, when you crumble up the dirt, ati asei v'dachi et lo tasei. Over there you have an asei. The asei is v'chisau, to cover over the dam. And have a lo tasei of doing malocha on Yom Tov. And you'll have asei doche lo tasei. So since I have an asei doche lo tasei, therefore I say go ahead and do the ktisha by the vadai. But over here by the safek, I have a different problem because I'm not certain that I have a mitzvah asei here. Since I don't have certainty about the mitzvah asei, I'm left in a situation where I don't have asei doche lo tasei. Now Rashi says something interesting over here. He says vadai nami nigzor mishum ktisha. We should make a gzeira about ktisha by a case of a vadai. Now the Gemara says, make a gzeira. Why doesn't the Gemara just say that it is an Isra Doraita? It says, Kevin Duro Pamim Eina Tzarech Lichtosh. Since in most instances you don't have to do Ktisha, Lo Gozer Rabbanu Mishum Ktisha. The Rabbanu would not go there because of crumbling up the dirt. Di Nami Ati Lidekach. Because even if you do Ktisha, Lavi Sura Doraita Iko. There's no Isra Minatora. Da Ati Aseid Vichiso Beafar. Medachi Lota Semelacha. Rashi says, Mido right though, there's clearly not a problem here, because even if you crumbled it up to do the Kisui Adam, you have Asei Doche Lo Tasei. So what are you going to suggest? There should be a Gzeira Derabanan. The Gzeira Derabanan will say, don't do Ktisha, because there are instances where it's going to be problematic, and so we don't want you doing Ktisha. Rashi says, most of the times you won't need to do Ktisha. So in those instances where you do Ktisha, we'll make Gzeira. Rashi says, there's no reason to make Gzeira. 90% of the time, the dirt doesn't need Ktisha. And the 10% times where it does need Ktisha, there isn't an Isra Doraita because of Asei Doche Lo Tasei. It's only going to be an Isra Derabanan, so it's not worthwhile doing. So now, by the case of Safek, you could argue the same thing. You could argue by Safek, listen, 90% of the time, there is no Ktisha, so why should I worry about it? We worry about it because the other 10% of the time. That other 10% of the time, in the case of a Safek, might be an Isra Doraita. Because if there's no real mitzvah tasei now, there's no Asei Doche Lo Tasei, and now I'm left in a situation where I'm violating an Isur Doraita. So there we will have an Isur Derabanan. Now the Gemara says, Ima Damrina Ate Asei V'Doche Lo Tasei. When do we say Asei Doche Lo Tasei? That's in a very specific type of situation, which is Kamon Mila Bitzarat, a case where you have someone needs a Brit Milah, and they happen to have a Baheret on the place of the Milah. You're allowed to go ahead and cut the Baheret, which is illegal. You're not allowed to remove a Baheret that's Tzarat from your body. But for the purposes of Milah, you're allowed to do it. Inami sadin betzitzit. Or the same thing by person who's wearing a linen garment that has four corners. It's required to put tzitzit in there. Tchelet, the blue string, is made out of wool. That means you have woolen linen, you have shatnez. Despite the fact that you have shatnez, you're allowed to put the woolen tzitzit into the linen garment because there's a mitzvah that says to do tzitzit. So the mitzvah that saves tzitzit overrides shatnez. The mitzvah that saves milah overrides the restriction v'yishamer b'neged tzarat, that you're not allowed to cut off a baheret, you're not allowed to cut off tzarat. So but when are those cases? The be'idne l'kami akir lav kamokim l'asei. Because at the moment that you do the asei, you also violate the lot asei. They are simultaneous. They happen in tandem. So in order to put tzitzit in, when you wear the beged and you're mekayim the mitzvah tzitzit, at that same moment, you're also in violation of shatnez. But that's what asei doche lo tasei means. It means that the moment you're doing the asei, the lo tasei is there, and the asei overrides the lo tasei. Same thing by milah and tzarat. As you do the mitzvah of milah, you're cutting the orla, you accomplish the mitzvah of milah at the moment that you're cutting off the tzarat. They have been in tandem, they have been simultaneously. And that's why we say asei doche lo tasei. Hocho, by the case here of kisui adam, bidna tekama akir, lav lo mokim asei. The time that you violate the lo tasei, you're not accomplishing the mitzvah asei. The lot asei is the malacha of ketisha. The asei is to do kisui afar. It's to cover over the dam with the afar. So you crumble the dirt, and then you cover over the blood. So when you're doing the crumbling, it has nothing to do with covering over the dam. So you violate the isur, and then you want to go ahead and do kisui adam, the mitzvah asei. They're not happening simultaneously. Tamar says, Halokasha, that problem we can solve. So that at the moment that he's crumbling it, he does it over the dam itself. So he crumbles the dirt onto the dam. That means that the crumbling or the crushing itself is what causes the kisui dam. So we have made it simultaneous. So now I've solved that problem. So that's back to square one now, where by vadai, I understand why there is no zerah, because there's no isur, because I say dochelo taseh, but by safek, I do have a problem. Mar says, sof, yom tov asay, velo tasehu. This isn't so simple. When you say that an asay dochelo taseh, that's only true when you have a positive commandment, it overrides a negative commandment. But when the mitzvah involves both a positive and negative commandment, then an asay cannot come and override it. And yom tov has both of those. Yom tov has the asay of Shabbaton, which Rashi says means shvot, that one must rest. There's an active mitzvah of rest. There's a command to rest. And then there's a lo taseh kol melacha, which is desisting from work. So there's both a positive commandment and a negative commandment. By kiseo afar, I only have a mitzvah to say. I have a positive commandment to cover the blood. So then, ve'ein aseh doche et lo taseh ve'aseh. An aseh is incapable of overriding a lo taseh ve'aseh. Tosafot in Shas formulates this in two different ways, and they actually have a nafka min halacha. One way to view this is that the aseh is doche the lo taseh. It still works. The assay is still able to override the lota assay, but then you're left with the assay. So the assay of covering the dam overrides lota assay melacha, but then I still have an assay of Shabbaton, Shvot, by Yom Tov, and you didn't get rid of that. So that's why I'm stuck over here. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is that the assay tells you something or information about the lota assay. The fact that there's both a lota assay and assay here tells me that this lota assay is stronger. It's stronger than a normal lota assay. Since it's stronger than a normal lota assay, an assay can't come and override it. We have a similar type of formulation with a lota assay sheyesh bo karet. If you have a lav that involves karet, not just a plain lav, but a lav that ends up with karet, sometimes the Gemara will say that an assay is not docha that, because the lav is too strong. So the assay can't come and override the lav because it's too strong. So there may be same thing here. When you have an assay and a lota assay, the assay is mare makom, evidence of the fact that this lota assay is much stronger than a normal lota assay. If that's the case, the assay can't come and override it. I'll give you one nafkamina. There are other nafkaminos, but one major nafkamina in this case is the lo taseh still there? If you violate the malacha, what happens? So in the formulation that the assay is doche the lo taseh and you're left with an assay, if one does the malacha on Shabbat, he does ketisha to do kisui afar, then according to that formulation, he's only in violation of the assay of Shabbat. He's not in violation of the lo taseh because the assay of covering the dam, kisui adam, overrode the lav. But in the other formulation, which says the lav is too strong to be overridden by the assay, and the fact that it's an assay and lo taseh tells you that this lo taseh is too strong, that means that the lo taseh is still there. That means that if someone does this on Yom Tov, crushes the dirt to cover over the afar, the lav is still there, and they would get malkuled for it because the lav is still extant, is still there, and you would get punished for it. So that's one nafkamina between these two formulations. Again, it's brought up in different places. Tosafot, different places in Shas, gives these two different views of why an assay is not doche, an assay, and a lot assay. But because of that, now we're back to square one, which is vadai and safeg are no better than each other. Meaning that in 90% of the cases, you're not going to do ktisha. You want to be gozor all to the 10% cases where you will have to do ktisha? Well, we said assay doche lot assay. That's just not true here. That means whether it's a vada or a safek, in that case, you will be in violation of a daraita in those 10% cases, and therefore the rabbanan should be goes there. They'll be goes there both by vada and by safek, so there's no differentiation between them. Elo omer Rava, that whether this is Rava explaining the statement of Rava that we saw before, or this is just an emendation of the statement of Rava before, depending on who said it in the Girsaot before, Efer Kira dato the vadai. When Efer Kira, when it comes to the ashes inside the Kira, he has in mind to utilize it for something that will definitely come up. Vein dato the safek. But he doesn't have in mind to use it for something that is uncertain. That's whether it's uncertainty in time, we'll see that. Whether it's uncertain an event will happen, or whether it's uncertainty about whether there's necessity for the kisui of the afar over here. The ozda rova the tame. And this is rova the shitato, which is dama rova hichni safar the chasod botsoa. Person brings in dirt in order to cover over feces. Mutar the chasod bo dam tzipor. And you can definitely use it to cover over the dam of a tzipor. A tzipor, which is an oaf, which requires kisui adam. You can use that dirt to cover over the tzipor. On the other hand, if you brought in the dirt for dam tzipor, asur the chasod bo tzua, then you may not cover over the feces with it. The tzua we're explaining over here, or the tzua in this case, is referring to a child. A child who's going to soil the house somehow, and then you want a farther to cover it over. The chance that the child soils the house is a safek. It's not a certainty that that will happen. Since it's a safek, we don't know if it's going to happen or not. Therefore, if you bring in the dirt in order to deal with the tzoah, well, you brought it in for a safek, and then you shechted a bird, then you for sure can use the dirt for the bird, because that's something that's vadai needs the dirt. So therefore, you can utilize it. You brought it in for a safek, so certainly you can use it for something that's vadai. On the other hand, the other way around, where you brought it in for the bird, which is vadai, when you shechted, you're going to have to do kisui adam, you're going to need the dirt, then you may not utilize it for the feces, which is a safek. You're not certain if you need that. Since you brought the dirt in to be used for an item that was definitive and known entity that you're going to need it for on Yom Tov, then you can utilize it only for that, not for the safek. But in the other case, where it's you brought in for the safek, then you can use it for the vadai. Nar blai amre, afilu yachnis afar lachasot bo tzom tzibor, mutar lachasot bo tzuah. He said, even if you bring it in for kisui adam of a bird, you can utilize it for covering over feces, because it's a karov the vadai. It's a karov the vadai that the child will soil the house and you're going to need the afar. So it's not really a safek vis-a-vis each other. Amrei b'marova, in Eretz Yisrael they say, pligiobah Rabbi Yosef bar Chama and Rabbi Zera. Machlok between Rabbi Yosef bar Chama and Rabbi Zera. V'amrei la, Rova braid the Rabbi Yosef bar Chama and Rabbi Zera. And some say the machlok it was between Rova braid the Rabbi Yosef bar Chama and Rabbi Zera. Charamar koi harehu ketzoah. Some say that koi has the same status as tzoah. Just like tzoah is a safek, so too koi is a safek. Charamar koi ainu ketzoah. And some say that a koi is not like tzoah, meaning that you have a hierarchy here. You have a hierarchy which is dam tzipor, which is a vadai. Then you have tzoah, which is a safek of the vadai. And then you have a third possibility, which is koi, which is a complete safek. So when it comes to vadai and karov the vadai, those you can utilize the dirt for. On the other hand, tzoah is a complete safek, and that's why you can't utilize the dirt. So that means for koi and for dam tzipor, you can utilize the dirt. You would not be able to utilize it for the case of safek, which is tzoah. That's in the case where we say they're not similar. Koi and tzoah are not similar. According to the opinion that said koi and tzoah are similar, it means that they're both safek. It means dam tzipor you could utilize it for, but koi or tzoah you could not utilize it for because they are safek. Obviously, if you brought it in for the safek, then you could utilize it for the vadai. Tistayim, let us conclude the rova hu damar koi harehu ketzoah. Let us conclude that rova is the one who says that koi and tzoah have the same status. Domar rova. Rova says, hiknis afar lachasot bo tzoah. When he brings in dirt to cover over feces, mutar lachasot bo dam tzipor. You can use that to cover over the dam tzipor. Dam tzipor, asur lachasot bo tzoah. On the other hand, when it comes to dam tzipor, you can't cover over the tzoah, tistayim. Therefore, you can conclude that he sees that as safek and vadai being different. And since they're different, therefore he must believe that koi and tzoah are in the same category. Since in the same category, when you bring it in for dam tzipor, you can only use it for dam tzipor. If you bring it in for tzoah, then you can utilize it for dam tzipor, because then the safek can be utilized for the vadai. So he clearly views tzoah as being a complete safek here, not a safek karov the vadai, which would be in the same category as dam tzipor. What is interesting over here is, why is it that when you prepare something and it's no longer mukse, that you can't utilize it for something that's a safek or something that you didn't have in mind particularly for it? The way that we view mukse is, either it is or it's not mukse. Either you had in mind to utilize it, and once you had in mind to utilize it, it no longer has a shame mukse, you can utilize it for whatever you want. You don't have to use it for any particular need. There is one Tana, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that thinks that you can only utilize a kli or an item for its specific and intended purpose, but nothing else. But we don't paskin that way. So why over here, when he has in mind to utilize it for one thing, may not use it for the other item? If it's muksa, it's muksa for everything. If it's not muksa, it's not muksa for anything. It's either is within your world of Shabbat and Yom Tov, or it's not in your world of Shabbat and Yom Tov. How come over here we can say, oh yeah, it's in your world for these things, but not for those things? The distinction or differentiation might relate to what the object is. When it comes to a kli or a utensil, as soon as you bring it into your world on Shabbat, you can use it for whatever you want, because the item has a shame kli on it. And since it's a shame kli, it is within your world, as long as you keep it within your world on Shabbat. As long as you don't push it out, it isn't muksa. On the other hand, when you're talking about dirt or rocks, they have no specific utility until you designate it. And therefore, once you designate it for a purpose, that is the purpose which it is good for on Shabbat, but nothing else, because that designation is what removed the shame muksa from it, because otherwise it's nothing. Dirt and rocks are inherently muksa, because they're just not things that are within your world on Shabbat. So if you bring them into your world, you have to bring them into that world with a specific purpose in mind. If it's for using for things that are vadai, then it won't cover you for safek, because you didn't have in mind for those things. You had in mind for safek, then you have a broader perspective of what you plan to utilize it for on Shabbat. So that might be the difference between a kli and these types of items which are inherently mukseh, and that difference is what leads to this statement of Rova, that when you have efer kira, it's mukhan for vadai, it's not mukhan for safek. Because unless you specifically have in mind to utilize these items that don't have inherent utility in them, then you can't utilize them unless you've given that designation beforehand. Rami Breid Rav Yeva Amar, Koi, Hainu Taima Delo Mechassinan. What's the reason that we don't cover the Da'am of a Koi? Gzeira Mishum Atarat Chalbo. It's a problem that people will think then that it's a Chaya. If they think it's a Chaya, they're going to allow you to eat the fats of the animal. So we don't want people to come to that mistaken conclusion. What does it have to do with Yom Tov? Even on a weekday, you have that same problem. If you do Kisui Adam, people are going to think it's a Chaya. It says, people are going to say, on a weekday, when he brings in dirt, and they cover over the blood, he's going to say, listen, he doesn't want the blood sitting around his chatser. It's dirty. So he covers it over, not because he has to do Kisui Adam, because he wants to clean up. If he shucks it in the ashpa, in the garbage heap, where he doesn't need to clean it up, what are you going to say? So Gemara says, if he comes to ask a question what he should do with it, we're going to tell him to do Kisui Adam. So over there, it's clear that he's doing it because of Kisui Adam. So why don't we worry about it over there? Gemara says, Ma'ika l'meimar, what can you say in that case? Ela b'chol, on a weekday, inami misapko, amri le'rabonan zil tarach v'chasi. Because on a weekday, even if it is a safeg, I know that the Rabbanan are going to tell me, misafeg, go ahead and cover it. So then I will assume that it is a safeg, and that's my conclusion will be. But, b'yom tov, on yom tov, imisapgo, if they were really uncertain about this item on yom tov, then mi amri le Rabbanan zil tarach v'kasi. The Rabbanan wouldn't tell you to do the kisui adam on yom tov, it was only a safeg. Because they realize that it's a violation of the spirit of yom tov, or all the other isurim we've talked about until this point in time. And therefore, we won't tell you to do it. The fact that you're doing Kisui Adam and Yom Tov already is an indication that maybe it's not a safek. If it's not a safek, then it'll come to be Matir, the Chalev of the Koi. So that's the explanation of the difference between a Vadai and a safek. Because by a safek, you might come to the wrong conclusion. And that's only true on Yom Tov, not on a regular weekday, because Yom Tov has a special status that when you have a safek, we don't allow you to do things unless you are certain. The fact that you're doing it already indicates some sort of certainty to this item, and we don't want you to come to that wrong conclusion. So now we have two answers to the question in the Braita, why the Braita said that one may not shecht a koi in Yom Tov, and if he does shecht it, we're not covering his blood. So we have two explanations as to why the Braita spoke about a koi and not a regular beima. One explanation is Rava, which is that Efer Kira is Mukhan for a Vadai, not Mukhan for a Safek, and that's why the Mishnah specifically spoke about a case of Safek. And it could be even in an instance where the Efer Kira is available to you. Even though it's available to you, we're not going to ask you to utilize it. And obviously you could say the same thing about the dirt of Rabbi Yehuda that you brought in a bucket, that you would only use it for a vade and not a safek. So it's not a question that you don't have these materials. You have the materials to cover with. Still, even with the materials available to cover it, we're not going to let you do the shechita. We're not going to tell you to do shechita because these items are still muksa, the gabe a safek, or the gabe an item that is a safek like a koi. That's one answer. Rabbi Zeira's answer is, no, that the problem by koi is the implications of doing Kisui Adam and Yom Tov are that it really must be a Chaya Vadai. That's what people are going to conclude. And they're going to be Matir the Chalev, which is incorrect because it still is a Safek. So therefore, we tell you don't shecht the koi on Yom Tov because you're going to have to cover over the Dam. We don't want you doing the covering of the Dam on Yom Tov, even though it's not Muksa. Even though there's no problem. You have the dirt available. You have everything ready. We don't want you doing this because we don't want people coming to the wrong conclusion. And now the Gemara continues and says, Tani Rabbi Zeira. This din is not only true by a koi where we have a safek, it's even true where you have blood that was mixed together from a chaya, of and behema. Chaya and of do require kisui adam, behema does not. So now, if their blood got mixed up, asur lechasot tov yom tov, you can no longer cover it over on yom tov. So, amar Rabbi Yossi bar Yasinia, lo shanu l'shein yachol lechasot tov dikira achat. It's only true if you can't do it in one spadeful, in one shovelful. If you can do it in one spadeful or shovelful, then we say go ahead and do it. Umar says, pshita, of course you should. If you can cover it in one shot, then you're not doing anything extra for the behema. You're doing it for the chayyan oaf, and it happens to be that the blood of behema gets covered. In an instance where it takes two shovelfuls, then the second shovelful you fall, you might have a question about, because that shovelful might be only for the behema, or because of the behema, not for the chayyan oaf, and then you would run into a problem. So ma'adutem, I would think, nigzor dekira achat, atushtei dekirot. I would think maybe you should put a gzer in place. Even if you can do it in one shovelful, don't do it, because you might come to do it in two shovelfuls. Kamash Balan, that we don't say that. We say that if you can do it in one shot, in one shovelful, then that is fine. Omar Rabba, shachat sipor mi erev yom tov. A person shechts a sipor on erev yom tov. He should have done the kisui adam on erev yom tov. Eim mechassino tov yom tov. You don't cover over the dam on yom tov, because you should have done it before. We're not going to give you the dispensation to do the Kisui Adam on Yom Tov when you had the ability and opportunity to do it on Erev Yom Tov. So because of that, we say, too bad. You can still eat the bird. You can still eat the meat for Yom Tov. That's not going to change. Kisui Adam is not makit. But we're not going to allow you to do the Kisui Adam because you had the opportunity to do it beforehand. On the other hand, Gilgeli Sami, Erev Yom Tov, if one began to knead dough before Yom Tov, Mafrish Mimena Chalata B'Yom Tov. You're allowed to separate over Chala from it on Yom Tov. Now, even though this dough was already Chayav in Chala before Yom Tov, and you could have taken it off then, nevertheless, we don't say, too bad, and you can't take it off on Yom Tov. You allow you to take it off on Yom Tov. And Rashi explains why. Because you're permitted to bake bread on Yom Tov. Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. Since you are permitted to bake bread on Yom Tov, and you could be mafrish chala on Yom Tov, because otherwise, what's the point of baking bread on Yom Tov if you can't be mafrish chala, then you can't eat the bread on Yom Tov. So it must be the fact that the Torah permits ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, and the Chachamim said, fine, you can bake bread on Yom Tov, that means that you're allowed to take off chala on Yom Tov. If that's the case, what Rashi says is it's not subject to the gzeira, the takana, that we're going to see later on in the Masechta, of not being mafrish, trumot, and masrot on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Because of the tikkun that it does, the Chachamim would go, so you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So chala should have been under that same restriction because chala is just another form of truma. The reason that it's not considered that way is because we allow you to bake bread on Yom Tov. So Rashi says from this, I can prove to you that chala is not subject to that isur. Whereas Avua de Shmuel says, the father Shmuel says, afilu gilgeli sever of Yom Tov, ein mafrish meno chalata bi Yom Tov. That if you started that process of kneading on Erev Yom Tov, you may not separate out the chala on Yom Tov because you could have done it beforehand. The fact that you didn't take the opportunity to do it beforehand, that's your issue. So Mar says, Lema pliga de Shmuel ad Avua. Let's say that Shmuel's statement, which we're going to see in a second, argues on his father. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says this, chalat chutz laretz. When it comes to chala inside of Eretz Yisrael, that's a requirement min haTorah. Chala in chutz laretz is a din derabonon that we do. First of all, the kohanim don't eat it. It gets burnt anyway. It's only ibud. And it's only a chumrah derabonon to take off chala in chutz laretz. So therefore, chalat chutz laretz, ochel v'olech. If you're in a situation where you needed to be mafrish chala on Yom Tov in chutz laretz, you're not mafrish the chala, but rather you eat ve'achar kach mafrish. You leave over a piece. After Yom Tov, you'll go ahead and then you'll separate out the chala afterwards from the leftovers that you left behind. You'll be mafrish the chala. Now you have to have enough left over that when you take off the chala, there's something remaining. So you have to have enough for chala plus. But if you leave that over at the end of your eating, that's fine. You'll be mafrish the chala m'lemafreya. Since it's a din derabonah and retroactively, you can be mafrish the chala. Now that's all assuming that it was one big item. If it's multiple small items that were not baked together, then you'd have to leave over a piece from each of those items. For instance, matzah, which are baked separately. The only way to make them chayevet and challah together is to put them all together, bring them all together in one place. So therefore, if you eat each one separately, you're going to have to leave over a piece from each one of the chalot. After Yom Tov, then you can pull them together and be mafrish one on the whole bunch. But until you pull them together, you can't be mafrish on all of them. And therefore, if you're eating them one by one, you have to leave over a piece from each one of them in order to be challah. What you see from Shmuel is that you do not have to be mafrish challah on Yom Tov in chutz laretz. We tell you to leave it over and do it after the fact. That means if you are mafrish chala, it has no bearing, as Rashi says. There's no impact from you being mafrish chala. Because when you're mafrish the chala, you could have done it in another way, which was simply leave it till afterwards. Since you could have done it that way, when you're mafrish, it has no real meaning. Since it has no real meaning, then why can't you do it on Yom Tov? And that would argue with his father, who says you're not allowed to be mafrish chala on Yom Tov. Only if you bake on Yom Tov, then yes, you can. But if you baked on Erev Yom Tov, we're not going to be allowed to be mafrish chala, which indicates there's a problem with being mafrish chala. And we're talking about chutz laretz, because we're talking about Shmuel and Avua de Shmuel. So Merova Milomo de Shmuel Shim Kara LeShem Shasur LeZarim. Right, Shmuel agrees that if you are mafrish chala, even though it's only midrabanan, it's still asur for Zarim to partake in it or to eat it. It's only for the Kohanim. And if that's the case, then it does have a status of chala. Even though, technically, you could have done it another way, which is you could have left it over to the end and made mafrish take it off retroactively. But the fact that when you do mafrish, it has impact, meaning that the item gets a shame chala, that Zarim can no longer eat it, that means that you do have impact when you're mafrish on Yom Tov. If that's the case, then he could even agree with his father that you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, because it's kanira mitakin, it's like you are being mitakin the item, and therefore it would be problematic. Now, the question is, why, when you make the dough on Erev Yom Tov, and then you wait till Yom Tov, why does Rova allow you to be mafrish lechala? Rashi, in the end, says it premised on that position of Shmuel, and so therefore that's why Rava's matir. Tosafot says that he's not sure that that's the answer. Based on the Yushalmi, he says that Gilgal is different than Lash. Gilgal is the beginning of the process of kneading. And since Gilgal means just the beginning of the process, you could be mafrish chala there, but you're not obligated to be mafrish chala. You could be mafrish chala even later on when you're lush, when you continue to knead it. So the case here is where Gilgal, he began to knead it, and he continued to knead it, and in Lisha, he continues to do even onto Yom Tov. And that's why Rava permits it. Rava permits it over here because you're only in the beginning stages. True, you could have been mafrish and erev Yom Tov, and you didn't do it, but you left it over. But since it's only Gilgal, it's only the beginning of the Lisha process, and you still do Lisha on Yom Tov, that's why Rava permits you to take it off on Yom Tov. But if you did all the Lisha before Yom Tov, even Rava would agree in that case that you can't be mafrish on Yom Tov. So that's the way Tosafot explains it according to the Yishalmi, as opposed to Rashi's explanation that there's no impact from the Hafrashat Chala like that statement of Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over here.